Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I want to read verse 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word.
Amen.
Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I didn't mention, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And we live in an age, and it may have been this way for ever since the Lord started his church, but it seems more so today. We have a tremendous amount of people that they focus on one verse. And if you talk to them about another verse, they have no idea what you're talking about. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, 119th chapter. And I have a habit of turning to a verse of Scripture and reading it before everyone else finds it. So if I get too fast, hold up your hand or something and I'll know what that means. Psalms 119 and verse 6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
Amen.
Now, at that time, if you served God, you tried your best to keep the commandments.
Right.
And since the Lord has come and died and paid for our sins, we trust in Him. We don't totally ignore the commandments, but we don't trust in the commandments to get us saved. We trust in Christ to get us saved. And then in verse 9 of the same chapter, Psalms 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. At our church, we sing a couple songs, and then I read some scripture. And then we sing another song, and then I preach, but we can't overdo the use of the word.
Amen.
Let's turn to Mark, the 12th chapter. Verse 24. Jesus answered and said unto them, do ye not therefore err because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? It's no wonder that so many gigantic buildings have been built with a lot of people going there. They don't know the power of God, so they don't want to hear the word. I have two daughters who are faithful to the Lord. You all got to know Stacy real well, and her sister is faithful to the Lord. But I have a son that used to attend churches I pastored and seemed to be saved. He doesn't follow the word. He doesn't pay much attention to the word. And we need to pay even more attention to it. Then in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And you can probably get there before I can. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them. And when you sanctify a person, the Lord does the sanctifying, we don't.
Amen.
And he corrects their mistakes. He corrects them where they follow him. So sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
There are many religious groups tonight that major on one verse. They say, oh, we believe the word of God, but they believe one verse. We have all around us those who that believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. At our work there in Berea, we had three adult ladies that attended for years. And their mother started attending. And I have never taught that baptism saves. I've taught that it doesn't save. The mother wanted to become a member. Well, most of the Southern Baptist churches in our area have accepted churches that wasn't even scripturally organized. So I told her we'd have to baptize her. The whole bunch got mad at me and they said, he said Granny was lost. Well, I think those three ladies may have been lost because they believe that Granny was saved by being baptized. Let's turn to Acts, the second chapter. In verse 38, in a few more verses we'll read, then Peter said unto them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They weren't saved by being baptized. They believed the word. And if you have believed the word and you've hesitated to be baptized, you need to talk to the pastor here. Because if you're saved and you're not serving the Lord in one of his churches, you're being a failure. You're not being lost again. You won't be lost again, but you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. The word for here in verse 38 comes from a Greek word, eis, and we would spell it E-I-S, and the more correct meaning to it is with a view to, not because of. And a man left the Catholic Church years ago and went out and started a religion that's still great popular. And he said, you've got to be baptized to be saved. He ignored the many scriptures that Jesus said, believe on me. He ignored the other scriptures that Peter even talked about to believe on Christ. There is no salvation in baptism. Baptism pictures that you are saved and it places you in the Lord's church if it's by a scriptural church. If it's by one that I just went out and started, or Brother Jim went out and started without no authority, it still is invalid. It's just a wetting down of a body. It's not scriptural. To teach that we're saved by baptism is contrary to many other scriptures in the Bible. And I know you all have heard these, but let's turn to John 3:16. John 3:16. Well, actually, we ought to start with John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
Eternal life comes from by believing in Jesus,
Amen.
Not by some physical act that we do or have done to us. It's by faith in Christ. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In case we didn't understand eternal life, it's everlasting life. And then in John chapter 5, in verse 24, it's Jesus speaking again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, this is where the previous preacher was talking. We need to present the word. We need to tell others about Christ dying. But verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Now turn to chapter 6 of John, verse 28. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. There are some groups out there that will tell you you have to do good works to be saved. No, here in this verse is the work that we do. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now let's turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. We often read Ephesians 2:8, and we emphasize in verse 9 that it's not by works. Verse 10 says, we are his workmanship. Rather than me doing the work, which I was unable to do, God did the work in saving me.
Amen.
And you say, well, it was Jesus, but Jesus is God. And it was God that did the work. Then back in John again, I got you over here, now we go back. Back in John chapter 6. In verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No matter what is in the back of your life, no matter what sin you've committed, no matter how bad you've been, if you will come to Christ, it'll be because God brings you to Christ and he will not cast you away.
Right.
We used to have a lady attend the work there in Berea that her husband never came, and I went to visit them one night and I was explaining that salvation was all in Christ, and he said, well, what if I'm not one of the elect? Well, it's not my business to pick out the elect. It's my business to preach to everybody,
Amen.
To present the gospel to everybody. Well, he smarted off to me in that way, and then it wasn't long till him and his kids got together and they started a singing group, and all the churches around got him to sing. As far as I know, he never was saved, and he died lost. Let's look at the next verse here, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. 39, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Amen. That's eternal security. Amen. Jesus said, I won't lose any of them.
Amen.
But should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. We all, if the Lord doesn't come back right quick, we all will die. We'll be placed in the ground. And when the Lord comes back, that ground's going to bust open. We're going to come out of there. Then in the same chapter in verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Not he will get it, but he has it. We only believe in Christ as God wakes us up. We go along hearing the gospel many times, and then one day the Lord wakes us up. And we actually do hear it then. Those who teach that baptism is necessary for salvation are saying that Jesus lied. Jesus never committed a single sin, let alone to lie. But if they're making baptism necessary for salvation, they're saying all these scriptures I read were just lies. In verse 41, in Acts chapter 2 a while ago, we read that they that gladly received his word were baptized. Up till the Lord worked on me, I wasn't gladly receiving the word. When God worked on me, I began to enjoy the word. It was precious to me, but up till then it wasn't. The word gladly here could also be translated joyfully. You joyfully receive the word. If the Spirit of God had not given them new life, they would not have joyfully or gladly received the word. They would have rejected it like they had previously. Let's turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Starting with verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. In other words, if I'm just carnally minded, I'm still lost. I'm dead. I haven't been made alive if I'm carnally minded. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have occasions that we sin, but yet at the same time, if we're carnally minded and that's all we think about, we haven't been saved. And yet the majority of the big famous churches in the world today are full of carnally minded people. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Right.
If all we think about is carnal things and fleshly things, and we don't give any concern to God, we've got a problem. We've got the biggest problem in the world. We're still lost. We can say that these here were saved, or else they would not have received the word at all. I keep telling you to go one book and then go back to it and then go to another. So let's go back to Ephesians. Sometimes I ask people to turn to a book, and before they can get halfway there, I'm reading it and I'm on talking about it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were as dead spiritually as anybody is that's in a coffin placed down in the ground in the cemetery. We were dead. After these joyfully received the word, they then, normally when a person begins to trust in Christ as their Savior and they come forward in church and announce that they're saved, they'll almost ask the pastor to baptize them. You usually don't have to set them down and explain that what you need to do now is to get baptized into the church. We need to see that after they were saved and then baptized, this added them to the church. Let's go back to Acts, the second chapter again. I guess if I was more organized, I would give you all these verses in one book and then give you all the verses in another book and you wouldn't have to go back and forward. But Acts, the second chapter and verse 41, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. I wouldn't mind baptizing 3,000 souls. I'll probably never get that opportunity, but it would be good. We all have neighbors, friends, relatives who believe that they're going to heaven because they've been baptized. Baptism is not real if the person being baptized wasn't saved to start with. We can see that in Acts chapter 8, where Philip was talking with the Ethiopian eunuch. In verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He wanted to worship, but he didn't know everything. And then in verse 35, well, right before this though, he asked Philip, who does the prophet speak of? And Philip explained that Isaiah was talking about Christ coming and dying and paying for our sins. Amen. In verse 36, as they went on, they came to a certain water. Philip didn't have to explain to the eunuch what to do. The eunuch requested baptism. Well, on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? But notice what Philip said. He didn't say, Oh, yeah, you need to get baptized so you can get to heaven. He didn't say anything like that. Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart. If someone comes to you and says, I want to get baptized, I think the first question I'd ask them, why? And if they said, so I can get to heaven, I would set them down and try to explain that Baptism doesn't save. You go to heaven by faith in Christ. Amen. Being saved makes a great difference in people.
Amen.
Let's look back in Acts chapter 2. Verse 42, right after we saw in verse 41 that there was added to them 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued together studying the Word of God. That meant a lot to them. I think this church and most of the churches that you all fellowship with and most of the churches that we fellowship with, they use a lot of Scripture, and that's good.
Amen.
These people here, they studied together, verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Right.
We're not saved by many of the things that many of the other groups are talking about. We have a gas heater at our church. We're in an old store building. Has one of those heaters that's up by the ceiling that blows all over the building. And in the next few weeks, when it gets a little warmer, I'll call the gas company and ask them to turn off the gas. And then this fall, when it starts getting a little chilly, I'll ask them to send a man out to turn it back on. And usually the guy comes out and he asks me if I teach out of the book of Acts. And I say yes. Then he starts talking about speaking in tongues and different things. To him, to be able to speak some language that nobody ever heard that just comes to his mind, that makes him a Christian. And if he comes out, if they send the same man out this year and he starts that, I'm going to ask him, what did Peter teach? What did Paul teach? What did Jesus speak? What did Jesus teach? And I don't know what he'll tell me, but we need to witness where we can. There are folks around us that have never heard the truth. We have a building that sits almost behind our church building. It's owned by the same people that own a couple houses there and own the building we rent. And there's an elderly lady lives in it. She's up in her 90s, and her daughter comes to see her sometimes on Sunday morning, and she'll drop by our services. She attended several weeks. The lady's brother started coming, and I think they heard things they had never heard before, and they just quit coming. They thought, he's making that up. But it's in the Bible. We need to teach the Word of God. We need to present the gospel to everyone that will listen to us. Some won't listen. I try to take a walk. Berea has a trail built around the city park, and it goes around the school. It's a pretty long trail. So on pretty days, a lot of times I'll walk around there, and if I meet people, I've got a few copies of our church paper, and I'll hand it to them. I'd like for you to read this. And met a couple the other day, and I handed it to him, and he said, "What is that?" I said, "Well, it's our church paper," and I shouldn't have said it that way. I should have said it's a gospel message. And he said, "I don't want it." Well, he's probably been aggravated by people that have pushed things that weren't even true and aggravated him. And most of the people I offer one to, they'll take them. And I don't know what they do with them. I hope they read them. But it's important that we get the gospel out and we try to be a witness to somebody. Brother.